Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I am your host, Carly Corrigal, and it's half term this week. And even though I'm not having the week off, sadly, I know lots of you lovely people are off doing fun things. So today is a bite-sized episode, which means hopefully, if I can be concise, we're getting in, getting the answer and getting out, because your time is super precious. And this one, well, this one comes up constantly. It is genuinely one of the questions I get asked most often. And honestly, I love answering it because there is just so much confusion and a surprising amount of unnecessary suffering wrapped up in it. So the question is this: should you be sore after every workout? And does soreness mean your training is actually working, or is it a bad thing? So let's get into it without further ado. First things first, what are we actually talking about when we think about this can't sit down, walking down the stairs sideways? It's that feeling. So that, my friend, is DOMS, delayed onset muscle soreness, but we're just going to call it DOMS because that's what everyone calls it. And the name is doing a lot of the heavy lifting there, pardon the pun, because the key word is delayed. So it's not pain that comes on during a session. In fact, that is something that you need to pay attention to because it could be the sign of an injury or an injury brewing. Okay. It doesn't hit you straight after either. Again, that's something we want to be watching. But this stuff typically shows up, could be anything from 12 hours to 72 hours later. So it's a great big window there. You could start to feel it later on that same day. So kind of from 12 hours onwards, it does tend to peak around the 24-hour mark, which is why Wednesday's HIIT session still has you suffering on Friday mornings, and don't we know it. Now, for years, and they do still say it now, people assumed that DOMS was caused by a buildup of lactic acid and in the muscles. And you've probably heard this. It's one of those fitness facts, in quotes, that has been passed around for decades and is, to put it plainly, wrong. People talk about flushing out lactic acid in a cool down, blah, 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 blah. Right. Not true. Lactic acid actually clears from your muscles quite quickly, pretty much like an hour after you finish exercising. So whatever is making your glutes hate you 2 days later, it is absolutely not lactic acid. What is actually happening, and this is where people wince when I tell them in person, is microscopic damage to the muscle fibers themselves. But this isn't a bad thing, so hold the line for a moment. Now, when you're putting your muscles under load, particularly during the eccentric phase of a movement, now I'm going to pause for a second and explain eccentric phase because that's going to come up a lot. So if you imagine doing a bicep curl, so you're kind of Popeye bicep curl, you've got your little weight in your hand, okay? As you are lowering and lengthening, so you're straightening the arm, that, my friends, is the eccentric part, okay? So it's that kind of lengthened state of the muscle that is an eccentric contraction, okay? Then you get these tiny tears occurring in the muscle tissue. So what happens then is your body goes, there's a muscle tear here. We need an inflammatory response in order to repair those fibers. Because remember, inflammation is not always a bad thing. It's actually a very good and very positive thing. So what happens then? We get this inflammatory response. And it's that repair process, that inflammation, that creates the soreness, the stiffness, sometimes a bit of tenderness when you prod it. People often go like, if I poke it, it hurts, right? Don't poke it then. Be my answer, but seriously. Here's the important bit. That repair, that process, is actually part of how the muscle adapts and gets stronger, okay? So the soreness itself isn't the goal. And I'll come onto that in a moment because I know some people worry if they're not sore and they're like, did it even do anything? But it is a side effect of a process that's very important. So why is it, and I've hinted to this already by my little analysis of what an eccentric contraction is, but why is it worse after some sessions than others? Oh my God. Some weeks when I teach my classes, I know there are some weeks. Last week was one of them, actually. So 2 weeks before this episode goes live, I had a lot of messages going, that was brutal. What have you done to me? Oh my God, Carly Corrigal, right, from all of my Train with Carly members. So you might have noticed, even if you're not one of my members, that DOMS tends to be much worse after certain types of sessions. Or it may be that you've had a little break, you're doing something you haven't done for a while, and there's a really clear reason for that. And that, my friends, is novelty. And it's referred to as novelty in the scientific literature. So newness, okay? When your muscles encounter a movement or a load or even a range of motion, so when you're going a little bit deeper into something that they're not used to, that damage is greater, it's exacerbated. So if you've been doing the same workouts for months and you suddenly try a new class or you change up your program, you return from a bit of a break, then you are going to feel it far more than someone whose body has adapted to that stimulus. And that is another reason why consistency is our superpower. It's all the more reason to keep coming, okay? Keep doing that work, keep putting the effort in. And this is called, in the scientific literature, the repeated bout effect. And it's actually rather brilliant. So after your first bout of this novel exercise, your muscles adapt in a way that significantly reduces the damage from the same exercise next time. So the second time you do that session, some people are like, oh my God, I did your strength class this week, I can't possibly repeat it. I'm like, no. Wait till you're a little bit recovered, do it again, because you're going to be much less sore. And that is because of the repeated bout effect. I mean, third time, barely anything, she says. You're so unconvinced, aren't you? But seriously, this is a thing, this is a phenomenon. And we think that protective effect might last for up to 6 months. That doesn't mean you only get to do this like once every 6 months, but just know that if you can keep going with it, it's not going to be as bad as that first time. I always say to people when they're like, oh, I've just started with your program, I'm so sore. And I say the first class or two is always the hardest. It really is. And this is your body becoming more efficient, more resilient. And this is exactly what good programming, good training is designed to do. Really, it's designed to progressively challenge your muscles in a way that you're going to keep adapting without it constantly flooring you. And this is so important in midlife. We do not have the time. We're not training as professional athletes with people running around, preparing our meals, taking our children to school, like, you know, pampering, coming, giving us massages in our own homes. It's not happening, right? My point being, you have a life to lead. So you need to be thinking about this stuff, or have someone thinking about this stuff for you, could be me, hello, where you are able to adapt, to get stronger, to have that overload, but not so it's flooring you completely every week. Okay, very, very important. Now, I talked about it a moment ago, but that eccentric component here that I mentioned is also huge. So what we think is happening, and there's not really consensus on this, and I had another look when I was just doing my research for this episode. I don't think there's a full consensus on what's going on here, but we think that your eccentric contraction, for those of you that are really interested in the science bit, they recruit fewer motor units. So basically, the force which is generated is focused on a smaller part of the muscle. So that's why it's like a focused, very focused load when you're doing an eccentric contraction. So when you've got exercises which have a long and slow lowering phase, so all my strength training ladies out there, Romanian deadlifts, so when your legs are pretty straight, so you've got that hamstring and glute in a lengthened position and you're lowering slowly, things like a side lunge, Bulgarian split squats, oh my days, they are my killer, I have to say. But also things like a broad jump or a jump lunge, or when I sometimes do horrible versions of press-ups in my classes, which require you to slow right down. Those, I see you. They are particularly good at generating DOMS because there's a lot of eccentric load in those particular exercises, which creates more of this micro damage than the concentric shortened phase of that contraction. Which is why when I put Bulgarian split squats in a class, I can guarantee it's like clockwork. By the weekend, I'm going to be getting messages telling me that I'm effing horrible because you all have felt it in places you didn't know you had places. Okay, so there is a method to all of this. Right, so does that soreness mean that the workout has worked then? Because you'd be forgiven to think, well, yeah, you know, I've then created that micro damage. That micro damage is a good thing because then I build back stronger. So does that mean it's worked? Okay. And I want you to really hear this, because there's nuance. I mean, there's always bloody nuance in everything I tell you, but this is key, right? Soreness, if I could get the word out, is not the measure of a good workout. Okay. And I do get messages sometimes saying, well, that didn't hurt. So is it working? Okay. I'll say it again because I know some of you don't fully believe me yet. Soreness is not the measure of a good workout, right? The goal of training is adaptation, getting stronger, fitter, more capable, more resilient, right? And adaptation happens when we put in consistently progressive stimulus over time, right? It does not require you to be horizontal for 3 days afterwards because you cannot move through the pain that you've inflicted on yourself. Okay, so no. In short, if it's not a measure of how effective your workout has been, it's just a measure of how new you are to it or how it's something you don't usually do or that there's a lot of eccentric loading, right? So if you find yourself chronically sore, and this does happen, and I do get messages around this, and you know, when you join my membership, I always want you to tell me if this is the case for you because there's nearly always levers we can pull. But if every single session leaves you unable to function properly, then that is a signal that something in your programming needs looking at. But you might be training too hard. You might not be recovering enough, not sleeping enough. That's often a biggie because, yep, surprise, surprise, our perception of pain is way worse when we're sleep deprived. And some sadists have even studied this. Can you imagine being part of that study? Would you like to do some really high intensity exercise on no sleep? No, thank you. You might not be eating enough to support the work you're doing. This is really key. Or you're simply not giving your body the time it needs between sessions and you're over hammering those same muscle groups, right? But I see this a lot, particularly with women in midlife. And I think we've been conditioned by almost by this like gym bro culture, boot camp culture, by years of being told that, you know, be sore, not sorry. You know, go hard or go home. It's just being told that this punishment equals effectiveness. It's a load of old shite, honestly, to believe that a workout only counts if it hurts, that if you're not crawling out at the end of the class, then it wasn't turning up for. And I do like that feeling of having really pushed myself. I genuinely do. But I want to dismantle that belief completely because it's not only wrong, it's actively going to be working against you. Because here's the thing, and I'm going to say again, this is what actually matters. Progressive overload over time. Did you lift a little bit more than last week? Did you do one more rep in your HIIT set? Did your form get cleaner? Did your range of motion improve? Did your recovery get faster, right? Those are markers of a really good training program that's working for you, right? Are you genuinely working at your 8 out of 10? You'll know what I mean if you listen to the podcast regularly or you train with me, right? Soreness tells you very little about any of that. So there are other markers we should be tuning into first. I'm going to wrap this up shortly. This is meant to be bite-sized, but I've just got so much to say. The other question that I get all the time is, do you need to wait for that DOMS to clear before you start training again? And the answer is really, I mean, again, nuance. It depends, but generally no. So if you have kind of mild to moderate DOMS, training the same muscle group again, doing the same exercise is usually fine. And some research actually suggests that light movement can help speed up the recovery because it increases blood flow to the affected area. It might not mean you're less sore later that day, but actually once you get moving, you often feel better. And definitely like a gentle walk, maybe a bit of mobility work, even like a low intensity version of the same movement pattern can all be quite helpful. What you want to avoid really is sort of hammering a muscle group that is severely sore, because if the tissue is still in the middle of the like a significant repair process and you load it heavily again, then you're going to risk accumulating damage faster than your body can recover from it. But a well-designed program, again, already builds this in. You are not supposed to be training the same muscles at full intensity every day. That is not how progressive overload looks, and it's not how muscle is actually built. So just bear in mind, right, rest and recovery are not optional extras, my friends. They are when the adaptation, when the magic happens. So yeah, if you do strength on a Monday, for example, and you're still very sore on the Wednesday, then you might do something lower intensity on that Wednesday rather than repeat that strength. Okay, that's not being weak. That's not phoning it in. That's not like, oh, I couldn't do it. That is intelligent training. Okay, so here's the bit you all wanted to hear. How do we minimize this thing? How do we minimize the pain? What can you actually do to reduce that, oh my God, I can't sit down feeling, or at least make it more manageable? So having looked again at all the evidence, there are a few things that genuinely are useful. First one is making sure that you warm up properly, because you are then preparing the tissues for the work, and that reduces the severity of the damage. Okay, so warm up, we do them at the start of all of my classes. That typically takes the muscles through a range of motion that you're about to use, progressively increasing your load. It makes a real difference. Okay, the second thing is easing into new movements. So especially if you're returning from a break, starting a new program, trying something genuinely unfamiliar, you don't need to go all in on week one. Okay, your muscles will thank you for it. Lighten that load, go lighter than maybe you remember doing before. Just build it up your tolerance slowly. Okay, the next one is making sure you fuel properly. And again, I cue this in all my classes. We need to be popping in adequate protein, adequate carbs into those muscles after your training sessions, particularly proteins going to support muscle repair. And if you're training consistently and you're not eating enough, then your recovery is going to be slower, I'm afraid. It's a fairly simple fix. You don't need to be chugging it down at every opportunity, but just being sensible, making sure you're having some protein with every meal. Okay, it has a really significant impact there. I've already mentioned this, but sleep is very important. So much of your recovery, muscle repair included, happens during your sleep. So if you're skimping on sleep, then you are directly impeding your body's ability to recover from training. And I know that's easier said than done in midlife, but just allow yourself sufficient rest time there. Okay. Active recovery. So looking at walking, gentle mobility, like a low-key swim, low-key yoga, nothing too crazy, right? Movement can genuinely kind of help that soreness shift more quickly than lying on the sofa, as tempting as that can be sometimes. But note this, evidence does not support stretching after exercise. So often people go, oh, it's because I didn't stretch, right? No, it's not that. Promise you. And I don't actually bother with stretching after classes or in my classes, right? You'll know this, we do a cool down, but the point is to bring your body back to homeostasis, back to equilibrium, not to stretch. And the wording of the study that I particularly enjoyed here was, stretching does not produce clinically important reductions in DOMS. So there you have it. Looking at things like cold showers, ice baths, if you're that way inclined, or saunas. I mean, I don't have a sauna, but I do bloody love a sauna. So there's some evidence, and admittedly, the studies that were reviewed refer to them as being of low quality, but there is some emerging evidence here that cold and heat therapy might be helpful, right? But I want you to bear in mind that what happens with cold therapy is that it attenuates, so blunts, your muscle gains. So essentially, you're halting some of that process, that inflammation that you need as part of that repair process. So just be a little bit careful. So my friends, let's bring this home. So DOMS is a completely normal, common response to exercise, particularly where it's new, and particularly where you're looking at heavy eccentric loading. Okay, you don't need to wait for the soreness to fully clear before training again, but you have to listen to your body, as with all of this stuff. And, you know, if you're following a well-designed program, it will already account for that recovery between the sessions that are targeting the same muscle groups. And this is what I do when you're a Train with Carly member. It's not just thrown together, okay? The last thing I'll leave you with is, if you do want workouts that are thought out for you, that are intelligently programmed for women in midlife rather than just designed to leave you absolutely wrecked, then please come and train with me. All the details are in the show notes as always. My friends, thank you for listening, and I will catch you next time. Bye for now. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.